Welcome to season two of I Vet So Hard, the not so serious podcast for seriously busy veterinary teams.
Hold on to your sanity, happiness, and success. Learn a few new tricks and embrace efficient processes that actually work in veterinary practice.
In each episode, we'll kick the tires on a hot topic and break it down into five key takeaways that you can start using right away. I'm Dr. Stacy Santee.
I'm Dr. Caitlin DeWild.
I'm Dr. Krista Wallace.
And this is I Vet So Hard. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of I Vet So Hard. We are breaking down something you're really all struggling with, and that is getting your staff to show up for work. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in vet med, but also you guys outside of vet med that own businesses that can't get their staff to show up consistently. And the reasons are funny. There's like a huge spectrum of reasons. What are some of the reasons you've heard, Krista?
Well, this is a thorn in my shoe. Okay. This is the thing that makes me want to quit. Owning a business is getting people to show up for work. And it's hard for me sometimes to identify with the younger generations because I'm Gen X. I was built on you show up for work. If you cut your finger off, you throw some duct tape around it and you show up for work. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. We have such this work ethic and this drive in us that we're going to be there no matter what, you know, whether we're on our deathbed or not. But the younger generations really just don't have that perspective, I guess. So sometimes it's hard to identify with them, but I've had everything from, oh, my lymph node is swollen, I can't work today, to I can't drive in snow, or, you know, my car won't work, or, you know, I have a fever. That's my favorite. But since COVID comes up a lot now, you know, oh, I tested positive for COVID, I can't show up. So I've heard the whole spectrum. I've been around the block once or twice with all of those.
So funny. Okay, so if we're going to get people to show up for work, let's briefly review what factors affect attendance. These are things that, you know, you've got to think about. And they're big picture things, unfortunately, but they do matter. And if you can't nail these, then you're never going to have people that show up for work. So I think it's really important. One of the things you can do is make sure that the employee is in the right role and that they feel proud of their work. Because if you have a job where you just feel anxiety, maybe feel underqualified, maybe you just don't gel, like you're going to be more tempted to call in sick.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have somebody who has social anxiety, but they're upfront dealing with the public and answering the phone, they're going to be stressed out every day versus, you know, talkative Nancy in the back who loves dealing with people. Well, maybe those roles should be reversed. So really understanding what motivates them for having the job in the first place, I think, is very important. The next, I think, is having that sense that you are wanted and we depend on you as a whole. Now, that can go both ways, but feeling like you belong to a family, and that's what we try to do at Monticello. We are your family away from your family. And that's the way we try to build our culture. We are team members and we do depend on you. And you are just as important as the person in the back. So when we do hire people, we always cross train and let them see other people's position so that they know what they're dealing with as a whole in the hospital and how important their job is in relation to say, my job. So I think it's important that they have a sense of being depended on.
They know they're needed. It's such a good feeling to know you're needed. I think the worst thing in life is to feel unwanted and unneeded.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, oh gosh, culture. We always are talking about culture, but it is probably because it's so important. Just simple things. When you walk in the door, are you likely to get yelled at? And I've seen this happen when you're looking at the morning schedule and the texts are like, who the hell booked this appointment, this surgery this morning? We are overbooked. We don't have it. Like, you've got to put a stop to that, because that's like walking in and getting slapped. You're not going to want to come. And another one is like, is the doctor cranky? Were they up in the night? Are they tired? Are they in a bad mood? Because I'll tell you this, it starts at the top. And if the doctor's in a shit mood, everybody quickly adapts to mimic that. If the doctor's in a good mood, they set the tone. So whether you like it or not, you know, you're setting the tone.
It's not the doctor. Sometimes it's a coworker that the practice manager or the owner doesn't know anything about, and they're being bullied or getting picked on. And so it's important to know the temperature of everybody that works in your facility and who works well with who and who doesn't.
A good way to deal with this, you guys, instead of like having to go around and talk to everybody, something that I did at my company is I made this little jot form and I called it a temperature check, like a TPR basically. Isn't that cute? And I would ask them, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, how stressed are you? I'd have little questions like, I'll put it in the blog for this week, but it was, are you feeling supported in your job? Tell me anything I need to know. Tell me anything, even share a fun joke, like whatever. I just want to do a little bit of check-in with you. And my team really loved it. And I'd send it out like Sunday night and I kind of get their pulse for the week. And, you know, it's good because sometimes someone's like super stressed and they're feeling a bit in a bad space because they've got some personal things going on. But another team member's like in a great spot that week and they can help each other. You don't have to be a 5 out of 5 every week. You just have to know where you are so the 5s can support the 1s and then it flips and we are a team.
That bodes well into external factors with your staff. You know, sometimes they're struggling with family life, or maybe they lost transportation to get to work and they're too ashamed to say anything to you about what's going on. It's really hard to pour your heart out sometimes in those situations. So just understand that some other things outside of work may be contributing to why they're not showing up.
Hey guys, it's Stacy from the I Vet So Hard podcast. I wanted to tell you about a brand new course we just released called The 7 Love Languages of Client Loyalty. It's a collection of 7 videos that each focus on an element of the client experience. You know, how to win and keep your top clients. The course is available at ivetsohard.com and it comes 2 ways. You can either take it as an individual for $9.99, or you can get the Big Daddy Team Package for $2.99, which comes with a practice manager lesson plan, discussion questions, and RACE certification. One recent manager that took the course said there were so many ideas for her team that it felt like practice manager Christmas. So head on over to ivetsohard.com and check it out. And one of the things that could also be contributing is you have a crazy booked schedule. And I've totally seen this. The staff will look at the schedule for the next day and go, fuck. They'll be like, I don't even want to show up. This looks horrible. Another horrible day. So you've got to look at that schedule. Are you given breaks? Is everyone just too tired? That could definitely be affecting attendance.
Absolutely. If they're not getting a lunch break, or if they're not getting a morning or afternoon break, some time to just separate from the day to day to, you know, relieve some of that stress, you're going to be in trouble with just about everybody.
Yep, for sure. Now that we've talked about what people care about and what can affect their attendance, let's talk about some pragmatic steps you can implement at your practice to just try your best to get people to come into their job. We've got 5 tips for you, as usual, here at I Vet So Hard. And the first one is you got to get that schedule out well in advance. Not too far in advance. I'm going to say 30 to 60 days in advance is going to be a sweet spot for you. I had an employee once and she was so organized. She would book her vacations 1 year in advance. And I finally had to tell her, like, we can't accept that, because she would book stuff so far in advance that no one else could take those times off, that maybe they just wanted to book something a month in advance, 2 months in advance. So tell people you're going to make the schedule 2 months in advance. You'll accept requests for time off for consideration. You know, maybe you do that quarterly, but get some sort of protocol going here. And what doesn't work is to publish that schedule 2 weeks in advance, and then people freak out and they'll find a way to not come to work.
I think in reverse, it also helps out having that schedule in advance as to who's going to be working on what day, because you can plan that schedule for different skill levels, let's say of technicians or vet assistants, and that are more qualified for certain things. And then that way you're alleviating stress, I think, for some of those staff members.
Yeah, totally.
So the second one would also kind of fits into the schedule, but tailoring the work to the person if possible. So if you're going to have a schedule, some people have fixed schedules, and there are a lot of benefits to that because you know what days you're working every week, and you can set your private life around that. That's what we do at Monticello, but we are a small hospital, so we don't have to manage 50 employees. And so that's a benefit to us, but I think it's also important for some places to have a flex schedule or even offer remote work. And this actually fit in to my clinic very well. There was a staff member who was not showing up for work and giving a lot of excuses. But when she was at work, she did an excellent job. She was so good at her job and so efficient. And I really didn't want to let her go. So I had the impression that it wasn't really medical related. And come to find out, she had social anxiety. So I offered her to work from home 2 days a week and keep her on as a full-time employee. And we've now done that for 4 months, and it has really worked out well for her. And it's worked out well for me because I don't have to fire her or hire a new person and train somebody. So just finding that sweet spot for each individual can sometimes be very helpful in the long run.
Yeah, so important. I mean, you're just going to have to go to your team members one by one and say, what kind of schedule do you like? Mom with kids in school and daycare and whatnot, they're going to want a fixed schedule. A person that's maybe wants to travel and do other things, go on trips, they're going to want a flex schedule. So just find out and then try to accommodate them if possible. Love it. Okay, the third one, you guys, is you have to lead by example. And I'm talking to the vets out here, the practice managers, the top level receptionists and technicians. You've got to set the standard. And that's going to be, you got to show up to work on time. You've got to be consistent and reliable. But one thing I really want you guys to think about doing is you're going to have to take a lunch break and some other breaks, maybe 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes in the morning. And I know what you're thinking right now as you're listening to this podcast. No freaking way. I just can't do it. But listen, people look to you. And if you're not taking care of yourself, there is no way in hell they are going to, because they're going to think that's the standard. We work our ass off around here and we don't whine. That's wrong. We can't do that anymore.
I force all of my employees, as well as myself, to take a lunch break. And when I say take a lunch break, that means leave the hospital. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you go shopping. I don't care if you sit in the car. I don't care if you go for a walk. I need you to remove yourself and take a break from what's going on in the hospital. And that is something that all of my staff have positive feedback on.
You're just going to have to decide if it's important or not. And once you decide it's important, you have to be vigilant about implementing it. And you can make little rules, like things like, unless someone's dying, we're taking a lunch break. If anything's bleeding or not able to breathe or screaming, we don't take a lunch break. Otherwise, we take a lunch break. These kind of specifics help you understand that this is what we do around here. Okay, let's talk about the culture. That's number four, is you've got to work on your culture, specifically the arrival culture I'm going to talk about. When you show up at work, what is your team walking into? Are they walking into a shit show or not? Are people waiting in the parking lot? Is the phone message light blinking? You've got 10 messages to listen to. You've got the surgeries already waiting in the parking lot. Are these the things that you're coming to work to? Because what is happening is you're going from drive up into the parking lot, walk into the clinic, and your stress goes up like in 5 minutes to level 10 out of 10. That's not fun. Nobody likes that. So I want to encourage you to maybe consider how you can ease into the morning and warm up the morning. I think people are going to be way more inclined to show up. My advice to you, once I started doing this at my clinic, I loved it. I would never go back, is I don't book the 8 a.m. slot. I just wouldn't book the first slot. Wouldn't do it. And it gave me a little bit of a breather for my team so we could do some things like say hi to each other, have rounds, talk about what's coming in for the day, sit around, have a coffee. I mean, I'm not talking for hours. I'm talking for 5 minutes, which isn't a big ask. Like, you're just saying hello to your colleagues for the day and you're prioritizing that relationship and getting psyched for the work that's about to be unleashed.
Yeah, I think it's very important at our hospital. I would say half of the staff gets there at 7. The doctors can show up at 8, but that gives us an hour to really sink into the day and what's going to happen. And we can talk with each other, like you said, have conversations. How was your night? What did you do? Before you have to start the craziness of the day.
Are you a practice owner or manager looking for innovative ways to help support your new grad associates? Are you looking for a new associate and need a unique perk to help you stand out from the crowd? I'm Dr. Dani Rabwin, the founder of Ready Vet Go, a powerful remote mentorship program. By enrolling your new grad associates in our program, you will ensure they become more confident and productive, bonding them to your practice and decreasing turnover. Our mentorship cohorts launch quarterly and enrollment is ongoing. Visit readyvetgo.co for more details.
I think the other thing that we do very well is just having professional development within our staff, knowing what they care about and the things that they want to learn in their position that they don't already know, having a place for them to succeed and learn more and develop more in their job skills is super, super important, because if they get bored, they just kind of stall out, and then what else is left for them to do at work? So finding new ways and cross training so that everybody gets taught something that they enjoy and that they want to do is very important.
Oh yeah. That's why it's so important to do your employee check-ins and call them reviews or evaluations, whatever, but what do they care about? And are you a stepping stone on their path to veterinary school? Or are they a lifer at your clinic and they just want to stay stimulated by learning things? And that might mean sending them to conference. Find out where they're headed and where you fit into their life, because then they know you truly care. So important. Okay. The fifth one is basically straight up bribery. We're bummed in some ways, like, why do we have to bribe you to show up for a job we pay you to do? But listen, you do. It's just the way it is. The world right now is difficult, and we're not too proud to do whatever we have to do to make sure the staff shows up at work. So we've got some reward and incentive ideas for you to implement at your practice.
Yeah, I think the first thing that you have to have in place is a very clear-cut attendance policy. And it has to be known to all of your employees. We have it in our employee manual. And this is my pet peeve. You know, you have to show up for work on time, and you have to show up for work on the days that you're supposed to work and do your job. If you can't, we personally have a 3 strikes, you're out policy. Now, that might mean you go from full-time to part-time or whatever, but you will be reprimanded if you can't follow these rules. So I think the first thing is to make sure that everybody knows it's an even playing field for every single person and what those rules are before you start handing out, you know, these bribes to them for doing what they're supposed to do anyway.
And you recently wrote an attendance policy and you used ChatGPT. How was that?
I did. It made me look very smart. I loved it. It was done in like 2 minutes and it was very clear cut and it was concise and it was actually more detailed than I probably would have done myself. So it was really good. We passed that out. We discussed it. Everybody had to sign it. That way I was aware that everybody had read through it and so forth. So,
yeah. So there's strikes if you don't come, but then there's rewards if you do everything you're supposed to do. And we recommend you put yourself on a quarterly schedule here. So you're going to go like January to March, for example, and everybody that doesn't miss work for an inexcusable absence is going to get a prize, basically. And here are some ideas for prizes.
So at my hospital, we offer a credit placed on their account. So But my staff has pets and they use our products and food and whatnot. And I would say 80% of the time they choose this option. We give several options for the reward. And I would say most of the time they choose this option, but sometimes we also will just give them a financial bonus. You can just outright take a financial bonus. And I'd say probably the funnest thing that we do at the hospital, we also offer special outings. Now, typically we try to do this as a group function, but sometimes that's not the case. We recently are signed up to do a behind the scenes tour at the Kansas City Zoo, and they're allowed to bring their family along with them. So this kind of marries their private life with their professional life. And we all get to meet each other and our families and enjoy time seeing animals that we don't get to work on every single day. And it's a subject that everybody's interested in.
Oh, you know, I recently saw Dr. Cody Krillman. I follow him on social media. He had one of his clients bring a baby burro to the clinic for just to get loved on. So that could be a special event that you have where if you have different relationships in your community where you have access to other kinds of animals, people work at your clinic because they love animals. So go ahead and maximize that. Another one too, just a quick one, is you can sign your staff member up to get a BarkBox subscription for their dog. They come in monthly or 3 month little subscription models. And that's super fun as well. The thing is, it's hard to find just one incentive that motivates everybody. So the best thing to do, in my opinion, is to provide choices of incentives to your staff members. Basically, it's like a menu. If you show up for work and you do everything we need you to do based on our attendance policy, at the end of March, you're going to pick from this menu of things that you would like to reward yourself with. And then you congratulate them and tell them you're so proud of them. And please keep doing that because it's amazing for you and me. And that's one of the ways you can start helping your staff come to work on a regular basis.
This is a very difficult subject. I know every practice owner, every practice manager, this is a headache for you. It is difficult. These are difficult times. We are mostly short-staffed. But really, I think putting a little bit of effort into this and understanding why people don't show up for work can save you a lot of grief if you can strike the right balance with that staff member.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of I Vet So Hard.
Don't forget to head over to ivetsohard.com to sign up for bonus content with more tips on how to kick ass.
We will see you right back here, same time, same place next week.
Until then, here's to keeping your sanity at your practice.